God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. God said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in the world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I hope you heard the top of the hour news. What great news. Well done. Great report. Important. And so thankful that AFR has that resource. The Pentagon has learned that they radically overvalued some of the taxpayer-supplied weapons you are giving to the democracy of Ukraine. So, great news. Ukraine has a $4 billion credit with you. To be fair and blunt at the same time, I don't know that the Pentagon's lying. I don't want to bear false witness, but I'm going to suggest they're lying. And democracy has nothing in common with Ukraine. We can pray for the people of Ukraine, and we need to. We can also pray for the people of Russia, and we need to. We can pray for Vladimir Putin and Zelensky to change their minds about what democracy means. They're not probably going to do that. I don't know that either man's heart is that open to the true gospel. I understand that Putin has done a good job of keeping the sexual left from taking over Russia. I've seen that. And I know that Zelensky's on the other side of that. But we can pray for the people there. But I think we also need to realize that our Pentagon and so much of the industrial complex that Eisenhower warned about is, to the chagrin of conservatives like me, it's real. And war for other than godly means is something about which I imagine Jesus still weeps. It's important for us, I think, to take a real hard look at politics in this country. Yesterday, we stayed away from breaking news. Today, I want to dig into it. It's not necessarily breaking. It's a couple days old, but timing in Washington, D.C. is everything. The people who I refer to as game makers, if you guys have not seen the movie Hunger Games, I get it. It's secular. It's violence. I understand that. It's also one of the most important teaching tools about how Washington, D.C. works in a fictional account thereof. The Hunger Games is a story about a fallen nation split up into districts, and rather than going at war with themselves, actual fighting wars, they choose to have a Hunger Games where they send young people to battle each other for the entertainment, largely of the people in the capital. The people in the districts watch with different eyes because it's their kids being fight. They're being sent to fight and die for the entertainment of the people in the capital. So they see it differently. This happened after a civil war broke the country apart. And if you've seen the movie, you know that the district has everything. Pardon me, the capital has everything. The districts outside of Washington, D.C. Well, it's not Washington, D.C. in the movie. It's Colorado. But outside of Washington, D.C. have nothing. Relatively speaking. So when we look at our capital, we look at the happenings, it's really important for me to say, can we find relevance to some of the things we've been warned about by Hollywood? I say that because in the second segment today, we're going to talk about a warning that Hollywood's issuing. Oh, and by the way, something that they claim they don't want to happen, but I think they want it to happen. So timing is everything. In the Hunger Games, there are people called game makers. They're the ones who decide on what's going to happen in the Hunger Games. Who's going to win? They try to steer. They steer the battles, the events. They have control over artificial intelligence. It's all very, very interesting that we now live in this world. But they can make a monster appear here or a firestorm appear here. Now, I'm not saying we're doing that in any real sense, but I call the people in Washington, D.C. who decide the timing of public events the game makers. Because unlike the Hunger Games, where the people in the Capitol are enjoying it, watching it, we get to watch the Capitol, and we're supposed to enjoy it. And so the game makers, they time things perfectly. I'll explain what I mean as I roll on. Let's start here. Instead of being held in contempt, Hunter Biden was allowed to stand outside the Senate building and openly lie in the face of meticulously gathered evidence and witness testimony.
For 6 years, I've been a target of the unrelenting Trump attack machine, shouting, "Where's Hunter?" Let me state as clearly as I can, my father was not financially involved in my business, not as a practicing lawyer, not as a board member of Burisma, not in my partnership with a Chinese private businessman, not in my investments at home nor abroad, and certainly not as an artist. And in the depths of my addiction, I was extremely irresponsible with my finances. But to suggest that as grounds for an impeachment inquiry is beyond the absurd. It's shameless. There's no evidence to support the allegations that my father was financially involved in my business because it did not happen. Republicans do not want an open process where Americans can see their tactics, expose their baseless inquiry, or hear what I have to say.
Remember that word, financially. If you make it through the whole show today, and we hope you do, in the third segment, I want to explain why I would ask you to mentally italicize, underline, and bold the word financially. He said it twice. Please keep that in mind. So Hunter Biden, in the game makers world, is finally brought to D.C., and he's going to respond to a subpoena. He's going to be questioned. But he chooses to not do that. And we in the country get to say, oh my gosh, he's defied Congress. Those of us on the side that believe Hunter Biden is a criminal, and I can pray for him, and I do. I can feel empathy for him, and I do. He was ruined as a child in my judgment, and I think that's very clear. But I think he should face punishment for the felonies and for obviously being an unregistered foreign agent working on behalf of his father. So we get to watch that. In the Hunger Games movie and books, the Capitol, people of the Capitol, watch the Hunger Games for entertainment. We in the districts watch it with horror. Right now it's reversed. We're watching the Capitol. Many people watching it for entertainment. I don't think people know they're watching it for entertainment. I think a lot of people think they're watching it for information. I don't necessarily think that's true. I think it's dopamine hits. So Hunter Biden issues this statement. That's part of it. It was about 5 minutes long. We took about a minute of it. This was the initial response of Republican leadership to avoid a contempt vote.
We expect to depose the president's son, and then we will be more than happy to have a public hearing with him. With that, I'll turn it over to Chairman Jordan.
Well, I would just echo what the chairman said. You know, we're disappointed that he didn't show up. I mean, he was just across the way at the Capitol. You think he could come here and set the question? That the reason he couldn't come for a deposition was because there wasn't a formal vote for an impeachment inquiry. Well, that's going to happen in a few hours. We think it's going to pass. We think the House of Representatives will go on record with the power that solely resides in the House to say we are in an official impeachment inquiry phase of our oversight. And when that happens, we'll see what their excuse is then. They should have been here today, but once we take that vote, we expect him to come in for his interview, for his deposition. And frankly, we'll also, I think, look at contempt proceedings as we move forward. This is what the Democrats did. Don Jr. had to testify twice in a deposition setting, two different committees. But oh, somehow that doesn't apply to the Biden family. That's not how it works in our country. It's supposed to be equal treatment, the same treatment under the law.
So they could have charged him with contempt. My understanding is now that's underway. Here's the game-making part. So in the movie The Hunger Games, in the book, looks like things are going well for certain players in the war, kids fighting against each other in this world setup as the district watches for entertainment, or probably the Capitol watches for entertainment, the people in the districts watch in horror, certainly rooting for their side, rooting for their kids to win because they don't want their kids to die because it is a battle to the death. the game makers might say, you know what? That team of people is doing too well. Let's have a rock slide come and bury him. Let's have a storm ruin them. Let's have their weapons disappear. Oh, things change. I so want to fully support Speaker Mike Johnson. But timing is everything. And I so want him to show us the actions of a godly man. But timing is everything. I firmly believe he's godly. I firmly believe that he worships the Lord Jesus. I see in him fruits of the Spirit. But Washington, D.C. has a way of spoiling those fruits. So timing is everything. We're going into an impeachment inquiry. Hunter Biden is coming to testify, but he didn't show up. Now I understand contempt charges are rolling out. We're going after academia. We've got Harvard and Penn, other elite universities on the run. A president of a university, Penn, Liz McGill, has been forced to resign. Claudine Gay is hanging on, despite the fact that she's an obvious plagiarist, and that gets worse and more entertaining by the moment as you see people defend her plagiarism. Sure, she plagiarized, but not that much. Timing is everything. The base is getting so much what they want on the Republican side. Finally, some people are going after academia. The organizations that are poisoning the minds of kids and taking our tax dollars, they're being described quite accurately by Senator Mike Lee as hedge funds with universities attached. That is what they are. So those of us who are watching this for entertainment, man, are we not entertained? So as that entertainment reigns, Republicans do what Republicans do, and that is that they betray us. They betrayed us, in my mind, by pushing through and not challenging Democrats at all on the National Defense Authorization Act. I want a robust Defense Department able to defend this country, but we're not defending this country. This country is being invaded. They passed an $886 billion piece of legislation that includes money for Ukraine and Israel. Ukraine is not going to win this war unless we send troops to fight it. God forbid. And Israel, we are funding, of course, Iran as well. It includes more warrantless searches to spy on Americans. That is a direct violation of the Fourth Amendment. Today is Bill of Rights Day. It includes funding for abortion and to chemically and surgically mutilate people's sex organs so they can more effectively pretend to be the other sex. Yeah, there's national defense, there's military partnerships, there's structural improvements to facilities, 5.2% pay raise for military personnel. Those are some good things. This never should have passed. Bipartisanship in Washington, D.C. is the only thing worse than partisanship. They always agree they need to be able to spy on us. Every single time. I'm losing my ability to support Mike Johnson. I'm going to pray for him. He's in a very tough position. But how he did this to support abortion and chemically and surgically mutilating people and spying on Americans, I can't understand how he even allowed that to hit the floor. We'll come back with Hollywood so afraid of Donald Trump leading an armed rebellion that they're cheering one on. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Just a little note about next week. I think I've mentioned this. And in fact, I know I did because I've gotten some emails about it. I'll respond to these towards the end of the program. I'm having surgery next week, so I might sound a little goofy or weird. It's just bound to happen. And we're also going to change the format a little bit towards the end of next week. I want it really to honor Christmas. So we won't have, usually we have at the end of the show, every other time, we have the Tower Babbling. We're going to remove that for the last couple days this week because I really just want to just focus down on honoring the Lord Jesus and wishing him happy birthday and recognizing the great gift of that. So those are going to be some things that change. By the way, the surgery is not life-threatening. It's simply rotator cuff. So I appreciate all the prayers and the notes I got, but there are plenty of people who need it more than I do. My friend Chandra does. Chandra is 44. She is in the most amazing physical condition one could ever be in, and she was struck by biological lightning with a very fast-growing brain tumor. She has three boys. She's facing this like an absolute champ. So if you would be so kind as to, instead of praying for me, if you would pray for the woman we call Channy, nickname Channy. Thank you. We're called in this world to be in it, but not of it. So I'm going to tell you some things that have been happening in the world of which many people are unaware. And it's very related to when I began my desire to put God at the absolute center of my media work. It's also when I began ruminating on leaving radio, which I did 3 years ago. And here I am back, courtesy of the Lord and the people at AFR and some great friends. There's a group called the John Brown Gun Club. You ever heard of the John Brown Gun Club? John Brown, of course, is a guy who tried to start the Civil War, the first one in America. He was a very violent man, or became that. He fancied himself a prophet of God. And prior to that, he hadn't done much in life. The John Brown Gun Club takes his name because they're prepping for a civil war. How many members? Not really clear. They're aligned with some of the far-left black militia groups. They're also aligned very closely with Antifa and Black Lives Matter Incorporated. They operate out of the West Coast. They train, and in separate countries like Washington State, when it's politically convenient for them to do so, as in when a Republican is in office or looks like he's going to win office on the presidential level, they take to the streets. And they open carry, which is their constitutional right. So they exist. They practice. And they would say they're ready to go. And by the way, there are some actual foreign mercenaries in the John Brown Gun Club. How would I know that? Because when they have been arrested, the police have said, hey, a lot of these guys are not from this country. John Brown Gun Club. We're called to be in the world and not of it. When I was really thinking of leaving radio, and I finally made the decision, I panicked because I quit on the spot during a phone call with the bosses where I was told I needed to lie about some things or lie by not mentioning them. So I quit. And I was panicked, thinking, Lord God, I don't know how to do a program with you at the center. I've been mentioning you, but I've just jettisoned the 5-year contract. And God didn't say, you dummy, but he laughed at me. He said, Todd, I've been preparing you your whole life. I've been equipping you. Satan was the world's first politician. That's all he is. He's using intersectional alliances, just like the left does, to build his political party. I laughed. Of course. I get this. Now, of course, Satan is scheming and a liar and a thief and a murderer from the very beginning. And I can only go up against him and win every time because I have the Holy Spirit dwelled within me. Satan's also raising an army. It's not just a political movement. Have you heard of Trantifa? Or sometimes Transtifa? It's armed people who believe they were born in the wrong body, or they've just decided to defy God's design for their biology. They recruit others. They have allies who join them, and they have been threatening for years to start murdering people who will not use their pronouns. They sell t-shirts promising to murder you if you don't use their pronouns. We're called to be in the world and not of it. In the world, we could feel fear from this. But fear not those who can harm the flesh. Fear, though, he who can harm the soul. Well, that's God. He doesn't want to do that at all. He wants his home and in the family. So that's just some background, or as my dear departed friend Dory Monson, a great radio host who died about 1 year ago, can't believe it's been that long, as he used to say, with that as mere prelude. There's this from California. Hollywood is terrified of Middle America staging an armed revolt, so Hollywood makes a movie cheering people staging an armed coup in the new movie, Civil War.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The future president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything.
I'm guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America.
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol.
Every instinct in me says this is death.
What if...
Every time I survived a war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you?
In that last scene, the guy who's pointing the gun, asking, what kind of American are you? He's wearing some interesting sunglasses. They're pink-colored hearts. The thumbnail image on YouTube promoting this, that which you would see if you just went to YouTube and before you played the video, features a guy who has dyed spaghetti, dark colors of green, and draped it over his rifle and over part of the scope. And if you look real close, you'll see that he has fingernails painted. Light blue and pink. Those are the colors of the so-called trans flag. Did I mention the John Brown Gun Club? And Transtifa? Many people are not aware of these groups. Hollywood is. And the creator of the movie, Axe Garland, is fantastically skilled writer, by the way. So the movie is either warning us or cheering it on. I also hope you heard the part about how Texas and California have teamed up. Texas and California are a team. Well, I know. Hollywood loves the unlikely partnerships in bro movies. Hollywood and California are not going to team up. Pardon me, Hollywood and California and Texas are not going to team up. They do not have anything in common. That's why so many Californians, some 688,000, have fled in the past year, many of them to red states, the number one being Texas. It's not the high taxes they're fleeing. It's Transtifa and the John Brown Gun Club. Now, they don't know they're fleeing Transtifa and the John Brown Gun Club, but the reason California and other fallen states like Washington State are so emboldened is because they no longer need to hide the fact that they've got these little armies. Remember the Time magazine article where they bragged about securing the election by lying about the Hunter Biden laptop and by having street wars and changing the rules of elections 90 days beforehand? But it was to save the election. Do you remember that article? In that article, they said that those groups, this was CEOs and political bigwigs and union members, had all teamed up to say, look, if this goes bad, if it looks like Trump is going to win and he's going to challenge the election and get away with it, then we'll call for more street action or direct action, they call it. Direct action, like Black Lives Matter Incorporated and Antifa undertook. Remember that? It would have been these groups to whom they would have turned to go kinetic. So Hollywood is either pre-programming us or pre-programming them, or Alex Garland just thought this was a great topic. Timely, good entertainment. We talked about in the first segment, the Hunger Games, and how we sometimes in the districts watch the Capitol and almost for entertainment. They know that, so their game makers hide things like the passage of the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, which is going to take your money to kill more babies, to take your money to chemically and surgically mutilate people, many of whom joined the army just to get that done. It will continue to destroy the morale of the armed forces. And the people in the Capitol time that. So we in the districts are entertained. So perhaps Alex Garland, the creator of the movie Civil War, just thinks, well, this is what people want. But California and Texas, no. It's not going to happen between Seattle and Texas. There is a Cold War in this country. And it's a spiritual one. California, with all due respect to the Christians who live there and have been called to be on mission there, and may God protect you, is a pagan land. The separate country of Washington is also a pagan land. Again, with all due respect to some dear Christian people who live there, many of whom are my friends and family. Here's a couple of examples, side by side. Now, Virginia, the state of Virginia, is neither red nor blue, as it's a purple state, but a fantastic victory. Out of the state of Virginia, Peter Vlaming was a decorated, well-regarded, highly respected teacher, and he just made a decision at West Point High School. He's a French teacher. He refused to use pronouns to refer to a girl who wanted to pretend to be a boy. He used the name she chose. He gladly did that. Sure, you can choose your name. I'll call you your name. But he simply refused to use male or female pronouns in her presence. Well, that wasn't good enough. The school demanded, you don't get to stop using male and female pronouns, Peter Vlaming, you're going to start doing that. And Peter Vlaming said, no, that's forced speech. That's illegal. I'm not doing it. I'm also not going to lie. Plus, I'm a Christian and I'm not going to disrespect God's design, male and female. So, of course, he faced the discipline, the firing that's happened all around this country, but he just won in the Virginia Supreme Court, concluded Thursday that he'd been fired over his refusal to do this. It was wrong. So he gets to now act out his religious faith. In other words, practice it as it says in the First Amendment. Practice his faith. Live by it. Live it out on this Bill of Rights Day. Just a reminder that Mike Johnson is taking your taxpayer money and chemically and surgically mutilating people who are joining the armed forces just to get that done on your dime. A great loss. But there's that in our society where people are beginning to fight back. And then there's this from the separate country of Seattle. One would assume in the movie Civil War, if California has teamed up with Texas, well, then would it be right that Seattle and the Western Washington world would team up with Texas too? And California? An anti-cop Seattle Public Schools history teacher, this from the post-millennial, my friend Ari Hoffman writing, chair of the school's social studies department, was revealed to have displayed images of terrorists in his classroom and claimed that Hamas didn't behead anyone, Hamas didn't rape anyone on October 7th. He, by the way, has a criminal record. And he gets to teach in schools with a criminal record. According to the post-millennial and Andy No, Peter Galosh previously gave a student at Chief South International High School a failing grade after the pupil said only women can conceive a child and that only men have penises. Has multiple arrests in Oregon, including for assault, violating parole, and criminal harassment. But yes, it's going to be Seattle and Texas teaming up in the movie Civil War. Do you think they're warning us about this? Do you think they're pre-programming people to do it? Do you think they're cheering it on? Or do you think Alex Garland simply thought, hey, this is what the people in the districts want to watch? We'll continue on the Disciples View with some emails concerned about me. Thank you. And we'll get to the Tower Babbling, plus a fantastic bit of great news for a four-month-old baby. We need some of that, don't we? I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View, and I do appreciate you supporting AFR. Everyone here does. Everyone here does. And so much so that I want you to know that the people whom God has elected to steward this network of 184 radio stations, they're paying attention to your emails and your feedback about the show. That is the management team here. And that really steers a lot. So when you financially support this network as well, please understand that you are making it very difficult to cancel us. Because the cancellation stuff is not over. There's a lot to get to in this segment, so I will delay no longer. We have the Tower Babbling coming up. Some lovely notes in one that's a little less lovely. To the show. Oh, it's not me. It's just hurt. So I'll tell you about that in a second. The little baby in Tennessee has probably been rescued by the grace of God. And I so hope that as this family does not know the Lord, that this will be the time that the family sees God's face in this activity. Sydney Moore and her boyfriend and their children were inside their home in Clarksville, Tennessee. This is from Fox News. When an EF3 tornado, which had left 6 people dead and more than 24 touched down in Montgomery County. The tornado touched down, it began to tear apart their house and mobile home. Belongings flying around. Sydney Moore, mother, said something in me just told me to run and jump on top of my son. The moment I jumped on him, the walls collapsed. This was her speaking to WSMV News in Tennessee. So the tornado, which destroyed the mobile home and their other belongings, then did something else. Their little baby was in a bassinet. And as the wind began to roar and swirl, destroy, it picked up the bassinet. And Sydney Moore said, the roof came off first. The tip of the tornado came down and picked up the bassinet with our baby. He was the first thing to go up. Sydney Moore said that her boyfriend lunged to rescue the baby and ended up getting thrown out of the house along with the infant. She made clear, she says, her boyfriend would give his life for the child. Clearly, sounds like it. And so would she. They found the baby not moving, not crying, in a tree. Very much alive. In Genesis, we read about God for the first time ever saying it is not good. Something in his creation is not good. It was that man was alone. And so he created woman to be with man as a special helper. And God at that moment used a phrase he, in fact, uses to describe himself three or four times in the Bible, that special helper phrase. And it's for this reason that we celebrate this in marriage. I hope this is a moment, if these folks don't know the Lord, that this might have been God saying, I am here because he is. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I have dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
Oh, it's good that the spokeslier in the White House understands. The Tower of Babbling is usually three sound bites in one segment that show how God, I know he invented humor and senses of humor. He invented everything, but I think he still has one. So he takes people like this, think they're wise. And I like the image of Yertle the Turtle from Dr. Seuss. He lets them stand up there on top of a stack of turtles. Look how high and mighty they are. Look at their wisdom and how wise they are. They are the wise ones. Until the turtle below, the one on the bottom, coughs. Figurehead Biden, in our first of three soundbites today, Figurehead Biden pretends how D.C. works is not how D.C. works.
They understand, as I do, that Ukraine's success and its ability to deter aggression in the future are vital to security for the world at large. And I have repeatedly made clear from our first day in office, we also need Ukraine to make changes to fix the broken immigration system here. We also need Congress to make the changes to fix the broken immigration system here at home. My team is working with Senate Democrats and Republicans to try to find a bipartisan compromise, both in terms of changes in policy and provide the resources we need to secure the border. Compromise is how democracy works, and I'm ready and offered compromise already. Holding Ukraine funding hostage in the attempt to force through an extreme Republican partisan agenda on the border is not how it works.
It is actually exactly how it works. Exactly how it works. And the figureheads people know this. Incidentally, did he say sending more money to the non-democracy of Ukraine is key to securing our border? He doesn't get to make claims about border security or national sovereignty and be believed. One's actions are far more strong indicators of one's priorities than one's words. That man does not care about national sovereignty. That man does not care about people being killed in war, or we would be in Africa with troops. That man, well, I think we know what he cares about. Hunter Biden pretends that Republicans in Congress simply want to mock his addiction.
For 6 years, MAGA Republicans, including members of the House committees who are in a closed-door session right now, have impugned my character, invaded my privacy, attacked my wife, my children, my family, and my friends. They have ridiculed my struggle with addiction, they belittled my recovery, and they have tried to dehumanize me, all to embarrass and damage my father, who has devoted his entire public life to service.
Service of something, for sure. There are people who have dehumanized Hunter Biden. He is human and he is flawed and he has absolutely no grounds to stand on when it comes to dehumanization. A man who rents the bodies of women and probably The photographic evidence appears to show probably the bodies of children, girls, has a long way to go to even understand what dehumanizing means. The inquiry is not about his addiction. It's about his connections and what business he was in with his dad, because they were in business together. Last clip in today's Tower Babbling, and listen very closely, please. This is what Hunter said. Listen closely, because the victims of the New York Times do not know this.
Let me state as clearly as I can. My father was not financially involved in my business, not as a practicing lawyer, not as a board member of Burisma, not in my partnership with a Chinese private businessman, not in my investments at home nor abroad, and certainly not as an artist.
And he went on to say again, not financially involved. He said it twice. The New York Times removed the word financially from the quote. He said it twice. Everybody who uses words for a living understands exactly what Hunter Biden did there. He is a lawyer. He was precise. My dad was not financially involved. Got it. That means nothing. Financially involved doesn't mean he wasn't financially rewarded. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Everybody knows I like kids better than people.
On A Disciple's View.
Before I get to a personal observation today, and well, you do try to wrap up the show that way, just because I think it's a fair trade. You spend such a great amount of time with us and support the show. It's fair that you get to know the guy who hosts it. So I like to offer a little bit of myself into this. Just a couple of emails. Number one from Eric, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Todd, heard you're having rotator cuff surgery. That's a tough go, brother. Hope you have a good physical therapist to work with. I've had two of them done. Keep your head up. It's going to be okay. Great notes. In fact, this is part of my personal observation I'll share with you. I do have a great physical therapist and a great sports medicine guy, and I'll explain why that's important to me in just a moment. It's not just the recovery. And this from Catherine, listening to AFR online from my old home in the separate country of Seattle. Todd, I've joined the AFR family via the web. I wanted to send prayers for your upcoming surgery. I hear it's on your shoulder again. Based on how you came back last time, I think God wants you doing exactly what you're doing, even if it means hosting the radio show with one arm tied behind your back, as did your radio mentor, Rush Limbaugh, and yes, God rest him. We're praying for you. Appreciate the note. Thank you so much. And this one from Tim in Dallas, Texas. Todd, you're too old for CrossFit. Give it up. Too many people get injured in that. There's a lot of things you can do at our age. I'm about your age. Get off it. Love you. Love the show, Tim. Appreciate the note, Tim, and the point of view. And with all due respect to you, brother, no. No, there's something that God gave me, and it's a real enjoyment of really hard, very, very difficult physical work. I don't own a ranch. I'd like to. I don't. I like to use physical work to help others, but that's not where God has steered me. I can't build things. I couldn't build a box. God has not equipped me that way. I can lift things, so I can go to people's houses and help them move or move hay bales and do things like that. Sure, but I have no skills in construction. But God gave me this love of hard work and sweat and not knowing if I'm going to make it through something physically. CrossFit for me is the sport of all sports because it involves all these sports, but it's far, far more than that. I didn't know that. I didn't know it until I blew up my first shoulder. The surgery coming up is on my right. Incidentally, this is all genetic. I've got bone spurs up in my shoulders, just like my uncles who never exercise have. They've both had rotator cuff surgeries. The fact that I'm having two after all the things I do physically, way into my 50s, it's miraculous. When I blew up my first shoulder, I realized that I'd been surrounded by godly people all along. I didn't know why I had such a draw to that community. I wasn't even a participant in the community. I was selfish, just in their training and getting personal coaching done. When I blew up my first shoulder, I had opportunity to be ministered to be touched physically by another man on my shoulder. Very uncomfortable for me. I can't stand massages. People who don't know me touching me freaks me out. But I was given the gift of a brotherhood with a godly servant of Christ, who is my physical therapist, sports medicine doc, and dear friend, half my age. I was given that gift. I was given the gift of seeing my coach for the godly woman she is, to pray me through this process. And I mentioned at the beginning of the program, people praying for me. And I'd asked you instead to pray for a woman named Chandra. Her nickname is Channy. She's 44. She isn't facing shoulder surgery. She has a fast-growing and aggressive brain tumor. The prognosis is 6 months to a year. Channy, I think, will beat that. First of all, she is in meticulously great shape. She's facing it like a warrior. She has a prayer team. There's also this. Yesterday at the gym, I saw women with the sides of their head shaved, just like Chandra's when she had brain surgery. Oh, and by the way, was back in the gym about 2 days later on doctor's orders. My coach yesterday told me that while Channy is on limited food intake, so will she be. She said, if I seem moody or a little bit low on energy when you come back, just know that. What she said to me is this: when I don't have enough carbs, I don't work out well. So when I start to bonk physically, I'm going to use that as an opportunity to pray for Chandra. So I've signed up for the same thing. I told her I'm going to do the same exact thing. So workouts are going to get extra hard when I come back, because in those moments, I want to remember praying for Chandra. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until we speak again, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you. I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.